The Gospel today from St. John, the 18th chapter. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Well, let's pray. O Lord, be ruler of our lives this day. Amen. Excuse me. Sorry. Christ the King Sunday. By the way, the tryptophan excuse has expired. If you fall asleep during the sermon, don't tell me it's because you had too much turkey for breakfast, all right? Remember the bumper sticker a few years ago? You may not, but a few years ago there's a bumper sticker, and it said, "Jesus is the answer." Remember that? Do you remember the counter bumper sticker that came out? So what's the question? What's the question, right? Today is Christ the King Sunday. And I think it's important that we Christians get our questions right. You probably had a teacher who told you there are no dumb questions, right? Well, maybe there aren't, but there are some that are wrongly stated or even wrong-headed, and those kind of questions can get us into all kinds of trouble sometimes. Pastor sat down with the children for the children's story. Always a nervous moment. And she asked them, I wonder if you can tell me what I'm thinking about. It's something that lives in Australia. It has small front legs and big strong legs in the back for hopping. The pastor waited for an answer. Nobody said a word. Nobody said a thing. And it has a pouch for babies, she said. Nobody said a thing. You know, she said, getting a little rattled, and if you've ever done a children's story, Susan, you know what this is like. It lives in Australia, it hops around, and it carries babies in a pouch. And out of the great silence came a little girl's voice, and she said, I know the answer is supposed to be Jesus, but it sure sounds like a kangaroo to me. Are you the King of the Jews? Jesus did not say, but might have said, depends on what you mean by King of the Jews. Jesus of Nazareth was no King David, was he? That's for sure. And that was really the question that concerned Pilate, wasn't it? Are you going to start another one of those stupid Jewish rebellions that we have to crush underneath our boots? That's what Pilate was driving at. And the answer was no. Jesus was not the reincarnation of his ancestor David, the king and the warrior. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said, whatever that means. So you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. Now, period. That's the end of a sentence. You say that I am a king. Then Jesus continued, for this I was born. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who hears the truth, everyone who belongs to the truth will hear my word. And today's gospel ends right there. But even if you've never heard what happens next, you can anticipate what Pilate's going to say, right? So what is truth? What is truth? Well, what the truth is depends upon the questions you ask, correct? Isn't that so? If you want to understand evolution, you should read Charles Darwin or Stephen Jay Gould. If you want to experience the poetry of God's grand creation, Genesis is the book for you, right? If you want to know how to make a lot of money, you get an MBA. Maybe. Maybe. If you want to know how to use your wealth profitably, you read the book of Proverbs or listen to the sermons or parables of Jesus. There are 10,000 books on self-help that will help you boost your self-esteem. But isn't it the scripture that will teach you how to be holy? Depends on the question you ask. If you want something to fight for, there are a lot of armies you can join. But if it's a cross you want to take, it's Jesus Christ you want to look to. What is truth? The question is, what truth are you looking for? Sometimes our questions are misdirected or express a fundamental misunderstanding, and they lead us in the wrong direction to where we're trying to go. I have a clergy colleague who is Jewish by birth and tradition, and a convert to Christianity. She loves the church, and she finds the contrast between her experience in synagogue and the church to be both fascinating and really invigorating. She gets a lot out of the mix of the two. Well, we were talking one day, I used to be her mentor, and she told me of going to synagogue and once hearing someone talk about why the Jews don't accept Jesus as Messiah. And the speaker said, "Does the world look saved to you? Does the world look saved to you?" What would you say if someone asked that question you? Does the world look saved to you? I'm not really sure what I'd say, but the answer might be, well, it depends on the day of the week if the world looks saved to me. You know what I mean? Some days the glory of the world is apparent in everything in it. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil crushed. Gerard Manley Hopkins. And some days the world is just full of God's glory. People are wonderful. Everything is perfect. And you can see that the world is just filled with God's goodness. But Father Hopkins continues, "Why do men now not wreck his rod? Generations have trod, and all is seared with trade, bleared and smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell. The soil is bare now, nor can foot feel being shod." You know what I'm saying? On other days, the Palestinians and Israelis are killing each other, and the civil war in Syria is raging on, and nights are getting colder, and the people suffering without homes because of Hurricane Sandy are out there feeling all alone. And our world seems far, far from being saved. Does the world look saved to you? Sometimes. It is a question deeply felt, no doubt. But we of the Christian faith know that it's not without answer. Because those of us who live in hope because of the Lord Jesus Christ can see and feel what no newspaper can reveal. For we know in our hearts that Christ our Lord has plans for this world, and that they are not yet fully revealed, and that they have not yet been fully accomplished. And we also understand the enduring words of that holy woman, Teresa of Avila. And you know these words as well as I do. "Christ has no body now but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion is to look out on the earth. Yours are the feet by which he is to go about doing good, and yours are the hands by which he is to bless us now." If the world does not look saved, it is because people of good faith, and I believe Christians especially, have not yet been faithful enough in the saving of it. Mary Gordon wrote a fine book entitled Reading Jesus a couple of years ago. And she talks about a conversation she had with an Irish friend. And she asked, "Do you believe Jesus is God?" And the friend said, "I do. Only I'm not quite sure who God is." Whomever the Lord God may be in the ineffable mysterious being which he is, Christ Jesus has shown us one who is boundlessly merciful, patient, and full of kindness. And oh yes, hopeful too, that this world Christ died to save will soon awaken, forgiven and free. Let us pray. O Lord, how much you love us. How much you long to see your world transfigured into a place of justice and peace and abundance. Draw us, O Lord, into your mysterious and holy kingdom. Open our arms wide and our hearts and our minds. Let us embrace one another in holy love. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.